EDM board bombs.
Welcome back to EM Board Bombs, the show that has made board studying painless. I don't think it could ever be painless, but it's less painful. How about that? Hey, we enjoyed seeing everyone at SAEM, and it was a pleasure meeting with a bunch of you. We had a great hangout, and it was really just such a fun time. So thank you for those who came out to the hangout and who just came up to us and said hi. We tried to give you free stickers, free merch as much as we could. We ran out like halfway through the conference. Again, we are so humbled and just grateful for the support and for the feedback. We asked a bunch of questions and gave some sneak peeks for the direction the podcast is going. We have some killer ideas coming down the pipe this year. So again, thank you so much for coming up to us, saying hi. It gives us so much positive vibes. So thank you very much. Iltfat Hussein cannot join us today. He is still sleeping, recovering from SAM. He traveled back, and he's probably going on some trip somewhere. Who knows? He's been traveling a lot recently. So let's dive into this quick topic here. I want to start off the week fresh with a really awesome board pearl, because that's what we do best. So remember, we have EM Board Bomb's website. You can check out our free handouts, where we have two-page review guides, which, thank you, by the way. Our supporters were telling us how much those are helpful, and we will definitely continue to make more and more of those coming out potentially monthly here in the future. So let's dive into this question stem and just let it rip. So we have a 48-year-old female presenting with sudden onset dyspnea and pleuritic chest pain 2 weeks after orthopedic surgery. Vital signs: heart rate 126, blood pressure 108 over 68, respiratory rate 28, and SpO2 94% on room air. Well, you go ahead and go down the algorithm, and eventually you get a CTA that does confirm a pulmonary embolism. Now, which of the following is the most common EKG finding in a pulmonary embolism? Choice A, S1, Q3, T3. Choice B, right bundle branch block. Choice C, sinus tachycardia. Choice D, diffuse anterior T-wave inversions. Correct answer is going to be choice C, sinus tachycardia. So yeah, that's the answer still. And we'll talk about why in a second. First, we got to dive into EM Rapid Bombs. So EM Rapid Bombs is the podcast that every residency is signing up for at SAM. No joke. So Rapid Bombs is our premium podcast that allows you to just absolutely master EM, ITE, and board studying. It is over 595 questions now. I'm losing track. I produce episodes every week for it. And that is amazing. That is over 2 years of content if you're listening just one a day. 5-minute episodes or less, multiple choice question, coaching. We had so many residencies coming up to us saying they were dropping the current residency plan they were using, insert written question bank company that will remain nameless. And what? They were switching to EM Rap Bombs because their residents were already using it organically, or they already saw other residencies with dramatic increase in their IT scores overall. Pretty amazing stuff. There was a talk, I think, at SAM on why board scores are going down. Well, not in the residency programs that are using EM Rapid Bombs. So again, check it out. Convince your PD or APD if you're a resident to get a subscription. If you just graduated, this will easily be covered by your CME. It is less than the cost of Netflix monthly. So check it out, and you get access to amazing amount of coaching, multiple choice questions, and a podcast that actually teaches you to prepare for the boards rather than just sitting down and doing questions, which honestly sounds absolutely miserable. I'm getting PTSD thinking about it now from when I had to do that when I was much younger. Okay, let's dive into this. So this patient does have an EKG that does show sinus tachycardia. That is the most common board answer finding for a pulmonary embolism. We're going to get into the nuances here. There are some slight differences here in boards in real life, and that's what we like to do. We like to delineate which one is which. So for the boards, what they want the most boring answer possible. They want the most boring, the most straightforward answer. So the most common ECG finding in PE is still sinus tachycardia. This actually is supported by the evidence still in multiple meta-analyses. We're going to get into the nuance of where this actually is wrong in real life. But most patients with PE simply have mild hypoxia, catecholamine surge, some type of stress response, and then there is some version of increased RV afterload. Some patients have it more severe than others, of course. And then that heart speeds up the heart rate to essentially compensate. It's not dramatic. That's it. Just tachycardia, straightforward. And this tachycardia can be like 100s, right? 101. And it's like, okay, is that really tachycardia? Here's a problem here. I think this is the big takeaway. And if you're an experienced emergency clinician, you already knew this was coming. But if you're a medical student, you might have picked the wrong answer, and that's totally fine. Choice A was S1Q3T3. There's a lot of problems with this thing. Let's talk about this, what I call the celebrity answer choice. So S1Q3T3 gets so much attention. It is the one that is talked to you for summer. I remember the lecture in medical school that they taught this to us, and everyone felt so intelligent walking away from it. It's basically where you have an S wave in lead one, a Q wave in lead three, and then a T wave inversion in lead three. And this pattern reflects acute heart strain. And it's true, it does. But here's the important pearl. It's just not common. And honestly, it's not that sensitive at all. It's pretty specific. One study found that the S1Q3T3 EKG finding had a sensitivity of 28%. That is abysmal. That is very bad. And a specificity of 99% for discriminating any type of PE type. Now, many patients with PE don't develop it ever. They don't have it. It is not sensitive again. But when it's present, it is fairly specific. So if you're diagnosing PE based on hunting for an S1Q3T3 or thinking about it, you're really in the past practicing here. And the boards know this. They know that's not the right answer. And that's why they bait you with it. It's an easy question, honestly. So the real life pearl here is what actually should scare you when you look at an EKG and you're worried about a PE or thinking about something that could tilt you in the direction of a PE. And this is where the real life stuff gets much more interesting than the board question. So the actual EKG findings that should make you nervous for a PE are any type of RV strain patterns. What does that mean? Well, by far the most common one is going to be anterior T-wave inversions in V1 through V4. This is such an important finding. Inferior T-wave inversions could also be present. It's really just T-wave inversions in general should get your attention. A new right ulnar branch block and then right axis deviation or other findings. And finally, this ST elevation in AVR. We often forget about AVR as a solitary lead, but that can be found in up to 36% of PE patients in one meta-analysis. It's one of the most frequent findings alongside sinus tachycardia and those T-wave inversions, and it is an independent predictor of RV abnormality. So what we just said here, all these findings I just mentioned suggest increased RV pressure, RV dysfunction, and a potentially larger or higher risk PE. And this is where the EKG becomes really clinically useful in terms of prediction and in terms of pretest probability. So the important nuance here that's going to separate memorizing all these board facts from actually understanding a PE. So a tiny subsegmental PE, maybe just sinus tach, massive or submassive PE, now you start seeing more of those changes, RV strain, T-wave inversions, right ulnar branch block, in general, just ugly EKGs. And one important nuance here is that if you compare a PE EKG to the patient's prior baseline, new T-wave inversions, especially those in the inferior leads, are actually the most common new change, occurring in about like a third of cases. And sinus tachycardia wins as the most common, what we call static finding. So remember that T-wave inversions will absolutely win out as the most common new change on an EKG. And those are the patients, the ones who could decompensate later or need ICU or need oxygen, etc. So circling back here to the board trap. The classic board trap is when they ask you what the most common EKG finding, they intentionally will include S1Q3T3, right ulnar branch block, RV strain choices, because they want to see if you choose the flashy answer instead of really the statistically correct most common answer. So let's do some rapid fire pearls and wrap this up. So the most common EKG finding in PE is sinus tachycardia. S1Q3T3, poorly sensitive. Pretty specific, but just not common in general. So in general, should you be looking for it? No. If you see it, that's great news. But I honestly don't even try to look for this thing. I care more about the story. I care more about the diagnostic momentum. Am I using PERC, Wells, years, etc.? RV strain patterns matter much more clinically. And T-wave inversions, V1 through V4, suggest not only more severe PE, but they're easier to look for. And a normal EKG absolutely never excludes a PE. 25% or so of patients with PEs have completely normal EKGs. Cool, awesome. That is it. Short and sweet, huh? Nice, quick, easy lesson. So thank you again for joining us. Again, check out EM Rapid Bombs at our website, emboardbombs.com. Should have mentioned how to sign up earlier, right? But here you go, emboardbombs.com. Check it out. and emails. If you want a residency subscription, we offer group discounts. We even have season attendings to listen to this thing. We have an amazing retention rate of people that just want to keep learning. And that could be you. So check us out, and we will see you next time. Again, shout out to those who saw us at SAM. Thanks again. Your support means the world to us. We are very humbled. You all have a good one.